Welcome back to React Native Radio Podcast. Brought to you by the Flat Earth Society. Math is hard. Episode 207, We React to News.
So I had a warmer all ready to go here, and it was super relevant, and I was going to get a lot of traction out of this, Robin. But then John Major dropped out at the last second because he has a sick kid. And so how was that ball game last night, Robin?
You mean the one that I didn't watch?
Yes, the one you didn't watch.
It was excellent. People did stuff with the ball and scored some points, and there were winners and losers.
That's very insightful. I appreciate that. Yeah. So John Major, of course, is from Wisconsin, and the Milwaukee Bucks are in the NBA Finals. So I was going to give him, you know, like ask him some questions. They just won last night. We're recording this. You know, of course, it won't be released for 2-3 weeks, so people may know the end result. I don't know. Knowing our audience, maybe they don't even know who the Milwaukee Bucks are, but
people are playing basketball right now.
Yes, they are. They're still playing basketball midway through July. It was a fun game, and you know, I enjoy watching basketball, but that warmer doesn't work anymore. So I don't know.
Next time you can ask me if you ask me about the Olympics.
Oh,
we'll be able to talk about that, but that won't be for a couple episodes.
Yeah, what do you think of Team USA basketball? Okay, yeah, that clearly. This isn't
okay. Not that part of the Olympics.
I'm Jamin Holmgren, your host and friendly CTO of Infinite Red. I'm on the React Native Core team, maintainer of MobX State Tree, Data 4 tractor operator, and apparently really bad at these warmers. And I am joined today by my startling co-host, Robin. See, I'm running a little thin on synonyms.
Yeah, you're gonna have to clarify. Startling in what way? Did I scare you this morning?
It was one of the options, you know, when I Googled synonyms for
I startle awesome. You with my brilliance.
Yeah, we'll go with that.
Okay.
Robin is a senior software engineer located near Portland, Oregon, works at Infinite Red and specializes in React Native, and mom of soon to be two, actually.
Yes.
So we're going to be missing you in September-ish. That's still a ways out.
It's a little ways. I still got time.
Yeah, you still got some time to kind of ramp up to that. Like I said, John Major had to drop out last second. We also have Harris who also had to drop out. So we're kind of going in alone today, which will be kind of fun because some of these notes were actually written by our co-hosts. So we're going to have to kind of navigate our way through their part of the podcast. But we're going to do our best here just for our audience.
It's the dream team.
It's the dream team. And you know what? We sacrifice for our audience.
Yes, we do.
This episode is sponsored by Infinite Red. Infinite Red is a premier React Native design and development agency located fully remote in the USA and Canada. We have years of React Native experience, blah, 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 deep roots. You've all heard this before if you've listened to us. Infinite Red is the best choice for your next React Native app. We'd love to work with your team. Hit us up. hello@infinite.red. Let us know that you heard about us through the podcast because that's always fun to hear. And also, we are hiring React Native engineers. Fun story. We got an application that the person said in the application that Jamin wore me down on the podcast. And that's why he applied. So
that's why you do this every single episode,
every single day. Yeah. Wearing people down. That's kind of the story of my life, how I kind of have to get things done around here. But you know what? I'm going to keep wearing y'all down. Careers.infinite.red. Go fill out the form. All right. Let's get into our topic, or more like topics for today. We are doing another React to News segment here. And so we have six or seven things, but we're only going to probably get to, I would say, around five today. We're going to try to spend about 4 or 5 minutes per item and talk about each bit of news since the last time we did this, which was about 6 weeks ago or so. And just try to get everybody caught up on things. We keep on top of things so that you don't have to. By the way, little shout out, if you want to subscribe to our newsletter, reactnativenewsletter.com, go check that out because you will also be able to stay on top of things when, you know, so you don't have to go and look up every bit of news on Twitter or whatever. So let's get into it. What's our first bit of news? I'm not going to do the whole voice thing. That didn't work very well last time, in my opinion.
Number one.
What's the first bit of news, Robin?
Looks like Expo 42 was released recently. Mm. Yep. Expo SDK 42, which includes React Native 0.63.
6.4 is already out, but they decided to just keep with 63 because they were sure, or they knew that 63 worked really well. That's one thing I appreciate about Expo is that they do a really good job of testing everything and don't really release stuff until they're pretty sure that it's going
to
work.
Yeah, they're pretty consistent about this. They don't jump to the latest React Native version until it's been out for a little bit and is pretty solid.
Yeah.
So this isn't an exception to that. This is just kind of the norm for Expo.
They have a preview release of custom development clients. So this allows you to sort of, if I'm reading this right, it's sort of like an Expo Go, you know, the app that you put on your simulator or phone or whatever. But it's like a custom version of that. And so it allows you to install native code and stuff like that, actually integrated into your Expo Go-like experience. So it's really easy to load stuff up. You're not having to recompile all the time, but it actually does have custom native code. This kind of is a step toward overcoming one of the big criticisms of Expo, which is like, I've got this SDK or I've got this, you know, native code and I want to integrate it, but I can't.
Yeah, they summarize it as you can think of Expo Dev Client as a library that installs Expo Go-like interface in debug builds of any React Native app. Not just Expo Manage apps. So they're definitely moving towards more flexibility, which is one of the primary criticisms they've gotten over the years.
Do you ever think that Expo gives away too much? You know, like this is part of the core of their business, and pushing people toward the managed side of things seems like a good idea because that's where they make money. But they're just giving it away for free. I don't know. I guess it's just part of their ethos.
I think it really is. And I think they know that there's plenty of users that love the managed workflow and don't necessarily need more native support. And they'll still continue to use the managed workflow. And this kind of just brings in even more users who will become loyal fans of Expo. So I think it's only a win.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And also, it does kind of match up with how we do things at Infinite Red, too. We give away a lot of our, you know, like open source with Ignite and Reactatron and stuff. And it's always about like just developing those. People see like our ethos and how we operate and then, you know, hopefully think of us.
It's a matter of goodwill.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I like that.
When people think about your company, you want them to have good feelies.
Exactly. additionally, 42 SDK 42 brings in first-party Stripe support. We could have probably used this last summer? Yeah, last summer.
Does that mean Stripe Connect?
Yeah, it actually does support Stripe Connect. We had an app where we were building it, and we couldn't use the kind of basic Stripe integration because that didn't have Stripe Connect support. The one with native integration did, and now that's possible with
Expo. Right, because Stripe React Native had everything we needed, but
yeah.
Awesome.
It looks like they actually collaborated with Stripe to make that work, so that's pretty cool. There's also experimental support for Hermes on Android, which is on Expo Go, so it allows you not just that, but also EAS build and Expo updates. So that allows you to use Hermes. Hermes seems to be becoming more and more the default choice for React Native apps at this point.
Mm-hmm. And I look forward to when they move to React Native 64, mm-hmm. because they'll be able to start working on support for iOS Hermes.
Yeah, absolutely. Speaking of EAS build, which, by the way, shout out to episode 191 that we did with Brent Vatney. There's also better Android permissions on that, so that's another improvement. And then also there's a new notification. Well, there are new notification features, such as custom sounds, handling push notifications while your app's in the background, etc. So They're improving the notification developer experience on that. So a lot of new, good kind of solid improvements to Expo in SDK 42. Nice to see these movements in the direction that will help us choose Expo more often.
It looks like they've also added a bunch of cool new VS Code tooling. You should check that out.
Yeah, VS Code, I guess, becoming the standard. Like, you remember, what editor did you use when you kind of first came to the industry?
When I first came to the industry, I used Sublime for a long time.
Oh, yeah. Sublime Text 2, probably.
Yeah.
I think that was the one that
Sublime Text 2 is what I used when I started doing Ruby in 2014.
Yeah.
I used that for a while. At my first job, after about 2 years, I was finally convinced to switch to Vim.
Mm, Vim. Yes.
Which is what most of my coworkers used. So I had a lot of like Vim mentors around me to help with that process. And I actually got pretty comfortable. And then I came to Infinite Red and hardly anybody used Vim. And it was kind of a pain when I needed to like show somebody my code or screen share or whatever, because they didn't know what was going on. And so I switched back to Sublime briefly, and then VS Code really took off, and I jumped on that bandwagon, and it's amazing, and I will never use another editor again, probably.
Famous last words, but actually, it does seem like it's become an industry standard at this point. I started with Dreamweaver, and then went to Sublime, and then...
Can you call Dreamweaver an editor?
You know, the editor itself, not the visual editor, which is what a lot of people think of when they think of...
Dreamweaver.
Dreamweaver. The actual code editor itself was actually, I would say, in some way superior to Sublime when I switched. Like, yeah. I missed some things. There were some really cool, like, had really good snippet support and stuff like that. Very good code coloring, all that. Then Sublime got better and better, and then I switched to Atom for a while, but that was just so sluggish and slow. And then I switched to VS Code and didn't look back at that point.
So yeah, Expo has a bunch of integrations for VS Code, and this SDK 42 looks like comes with a bunch of improvements, including mod previews. So if you use Expo, you know what mods are. They modify native project files during the pre-build process, but now you can preview them in VS Code without having to actually go run pre-build, which is pretty cool. And it looks like you can also determine what permissions will be added to your Android manifest, which also seems really powerful. So yeah, doing a lot. It's amazing what you can do with VS Code.
Yeah, totally. Speaking of amazing things that you can do with VS Code, there is a new kind of new hotness out there called GitHub Copilot.
Yes.
Robin, have you tried this yet?
Well, no, because you have to be like royalty in order to get an invitation. I did join the wait list.
Okay.
And I watched some streams from famous people on Twitter who were able to get into it.
Royalty. Right.
Royalty. And it looks pretty fun, pretty mind-blowing. So if you don't know, GitHub Copilot is an AI tool, or it's based on OpenAI Codex, that uses all of the public code on GitHub as training data to give you really smart autocomplete suggestions as you write your code, basically.
So I'm glad they clarified public code, because public. I think that would be just start typing in like, try to figure out what the private code key would be, so you can just get that pulled in.
So yeah, it uses what you've typed already, along with its trained algorithm to sort of predict what you might want to write. So you can just like write a comment that says to-do component with on-press text and style props.
Yeah.
And it will guess about what that to-do component might look like. And it actually does a pretty good job.
Yeah. It there's obviously the usual tweets kind of saying, you know, oh, look at this funny thing that Copilot suggested or you know, things like that. But actually there are a lot of people that they start it and they're like, well, okay, that's pretty interesting. It's just tapping into the millions, maybe billions of lines of code that are on GitHub.
Well, can you imagine how many people have basically written the exact same component as each other over and over and over again. Like,
right?
How many times can you write a button with text in it and an icon on one side? Like, there's just a lot of patterns that every app kind of has.
And for those of you who haven't, like, you know, delved into what AI is all about, what you really need is a lot of training data. You need a lot of good data that you can train the model on to then predict future things. And so who has more data than GitHub? Like, they have all this as far as code. They have all this code, and they have the ability to train their models using that. So really cool idea. Does this mean, Robin, that our days as programmers is limited?
Definitely not. I don't I don't see developer jobs going anywhere anytime soon. It's really more of a tool and maybe a starting point. It can also be extremely helpful if you're trying to learn a new language, framework, SDK, because, like, there's a bunch of public code out there from people that have implemented the API that you're trying to use. And so it'll give you suggestions that sort of prevent you from having to just scour a bunch of documentation, mm-hmm. which can be really, really useful when you're trying to learn something new. But the code it generates is obviously not perfect, will not be, like, ideally suited for your business logic or your exact use case.
Right.
It's a place to start. It can probably save you some typing. Pretty cool tool to play around with.
I feel like if you just rely on GitHub Copilot, then every app will just turn into a to-do app because there's, like, a billion of them out there.
I do look forward to a bunch of people showing, like, here's an app built entirely by GitHub Copilot and just see what kind of funny things come out of it.
Right?
It's like the time that they did, like, Twitch plays Pokemon or, like, Twitch plays Mario.
Exactly.
See what happens.
Yeah. So I don't know. Are there, I see in the notes here, there's a note, you need to use key phrases like flat list.
Yeah. You have to sort of give it some help.
Clues.
Obviously I haven't used it, so I haven't tried, mm-hmm. I haven't played around with, like, what it would give you if you just said, make a list of strings or something. I don't know.
Right. Right. Yeah. Would be cool to try that.
But you can help it by just saying this is a list of to-do components or a flat list of to-do components with X, Y, and Z props. And it'll help it sort of know to do the right thing a little bit better.
It'll be interesting to see how this goes. And once it's available to us non-royalty, I will definitely give it a go.
Well, I'm on the waiting list, so fingers crossed. How am I not royalty yet? Come on. How long have we been doing this podcast?
Right?
I need to talk to at GitHub?
Who do we need to talk to? Maybe they're listening. All right. So next on the list is Detox and Jennymotion. It's Jennymotion, right? Or is it Genymotion?
It's Jennymotion.
Okay. Just like GIF. Got it.
Yes.
So they wrote a blog post, I guess. Eleanor Quok. But Eleanor writes that an article, Scale Your End-to-End React Native UI Testing with Detox on Jennymotion Cloud Android Virtual Devices. So this has actually been kind of a pain point for us, where you can't run your Detox end-to-end tests on a React Native app in the cloud. So you can't do, like, virtual devices. I mean, you can run it, like, in a simulator, but you can't do it on, like, a device farm. Is the problem. And even on simulators and emulators, it can be somewhat problematic. So this is kind of cool because there is Jennymotion Cloud out there as sort of an, and of course, Jennymotion is, I originally found out about it through, they released their own Android emulator that was much faster than the existing one. Now, Google has improved that, so it's less important, but Jennymotion is still better in some ways, I've heard, in terms of, you know, like speed and reliability and whatnot. So obviously Detox is a great, framework. We actually did a episode 189 with Rotem. And so we really like it, but in some cases we were having to drop back to Appium, which is an alternative that is not as fun to use, but it works on device farms. So this is kind of cool. You can use Jennymotion Cloud, and then you can actually continue to use your Detox tests for end-to-end rather than having to switch over to Appium.
It looks like Rotem actually was pretty instrumental in making this happen,
yeah.
Making this partnership happen through his work at Wix.
Yeah, that's fantastic. it's cool to see the tooling and testing and whatnot getting better for React Native.
Yeah, definitely. And the more we have tools for scalable, large scale testing like this, the more we're going to get enterprise buy-in.
Yes.
Like enterprise companies usually highly value robust testing, and they want to know that a release is good before it goes out the door. And like this is one step closer to making that really commonplace.
Yeah, absolutely. So speaking of, I'm actually going to move right along because time is ticking away. Speaking of better tooling, TypeScript 4.4 was released. Well, actually, as of recording, it's the beta, but it's pretty well solidified.
Their betas are pretty stable.
They are, yeah. And I'll just run through some of the benefits here. So there's a smarter control flow analysis. So essentially, it understands before you could do like an if type of my variable is, you know, a string, and then it would know that inside of the if statement that now we know that this is a string.
Yeah. Right?
But now you can actually put that into a const, like const is a string equals type of, you know, and then if is a string is then evaluated by TypeScript as also being a guard there. So it kind of maybe annotates that variable saying, if this is used in an if statement, now inside of that if statement control block, we can now assume that that variable is a string. So that's kind of cool. Just, you know, kind of adds a little more intelligence to inferring the type from the control flow.
I'm always really impressed by TypeScript's control flow.
Yeah, me
features,
too.
Features, how like you can put a conditional in and it just knows.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You've added type safety.
You can also now use symbols. I don't use symbols all that often in JavaScript, but they are useful in some cases. But you can use them as object keys and like as you can actually type an object to say this needs to have symbols as its object keys. So that'll be useful.
Can you explain a little bit more about what that means? Because I don't usually think about symbols in the context of JavaScript. I remember symbols from like my brief stint in Elixir, but I don't really think of symbols in JavaScript.
Yeah, so symbols are, you don't really, most people don't need to use these, to be honest. It's pretty much a library author thing. Symbols are guaranteed to be unique, even if they have the same key, or even if you just run symbol parenthesis parenthesis without like giving it a key. It's just like every time you, like a string, if I were to put quote Jamin quote, and then quote Jamin quote, it's the same string. So you would actually end up with, it would be non-unique, right? So where some library authors might use it is to attach hidden properties to objects, because it's like, I'm not overriding some future string that could be added, however unlikely that is, but it's not adding a property to this object that will be, it's hidden, but I have a reference to that symbol, so I can then access that again. I can be like, my object square bracket, then a reference to that symbol that I created will bring up that thing again. So
if you already know you have a use case for symbols, TypeScript now supports symbols as keys.
Exactly. Yes.
Otherwise, don't worry too much about it.
Don't worry too much about it. It's just not. Yeah. TypeScript. Yes. TypeScript. So yes, it supports that. It also is defaulting to the unknown type in try catch error variable. So often that's represented with E, you know, catch parenthesis E. That E now is unknown rather than, I assume it was any before. I actually don't know. I think it was probably any. So the unknown type can be useful to make sure that you're not using something before you type it, before you say this is what this type is. So it'll keep you from doing that. There's also a new setting, which is exact optional property types. If you make a property that is a type of like string or whatever as optional, so with a question mark. So in my object, you know, I have a property, which might be name, and I put question mark colon string. The implicit or the type that actually gets added to it is string or undefined. So you could technically say my object and name colon undefined, but you don't really want that. Like you want it to either be not set or set to a string. You don't want it to be set, but to undefined. And just as an aside, undefined's a mess. I don't know why you would.
Why is it that not setting it is different from setting it to undefined? I always thought those were equivalent. I guess they're not.
Yeah. And then, of course, you have null. And by the way, you also have empty, which is like an array thing, sparse arrays. It's a mess. It's a total mess. But yeah, if you have exact optional property types, means that you can't set something to undefined in an object.
But you, yeah. So that's only true if you specify this new config option. Thing. Okay.
And it doesn't come in with strict, by the way. So you'd have to explicitly set it. Okay, so that's four of our items, but you know, we're actually really short on time, and there is actually a new segment I want to get to in this episode. So let's just move right past the last few things we had and go right to fan mail. I actually got some fan mail. We have fans, Robin. You know that?
Really?
Yeah.
What are they? What are they fans of?
I'm assuming the podcast. Like, you know, I don't know. Buzz Ilkington. Hey, Buzz. By the way, thanks for sending in your question. He had listened to the React Native Express episode that we did with Devin. Buzz says, another banger with the podcast, React Native Express. I always wondered why a company that seeks senior React Native developers, Infinite Red, pushes out beginner React Native podcast content. Then my brother said it could be a cultivating move to grow the candidate pool in a field that is in short supply and somewhat intimidating to get started. That I see what you're doing is public service. Is that the right assessment of the purpose of React Native Radio?
I don't know, Jamin, is it?
I think that from the very beginning, Infinite Red has been focused on the community as a whole. The health of the community is a good thing for us, because the more React Native developers there are out there, whether they work for us or not, when they're at other companies, just kind of growing the entire ecosystem as, you know, the premier React Native agency out there, we benefit from that. And the React Native Radio was sort of, you know, it was sort of stagnating in some ways under sort of the previous management, and we wanted to take it over, and they were amenable to that. I think they saw that as well. And we wanted to, I think that having a good podcast available for the React Native community is just a healthy thing for our community. It's good to have React Native content out there, surface these things. You know, not everybody likes to surf Twitter all the time and try to keep an eye out for new stuff that's happening. So, you know, this is one among many things that we do as part of our media strategy. We obviously have Chain React, which is a lot of times focused on beginners. Not always. There's a lot of great advanced content as well. But a lot of people who are React Native curious will come to Chain React just to see what it's all about. And we have workshops there. We have beginner, intermediate, and expert workshops. We put out a lot of blog post content that ranges from beginner to really advanced stuff. The newsletter, we have the Infinite Red community, which helps a lot of beginners and also more advanced as well. So it's just the, you know, what's good for React Native is good for Infinite Red. And so obviously the React Native Radio podcast is good for the community, I think. It's also just something, I don't know, I enjoy it. It's so much fun, like, to do this. And it's been fun to work with you, Robin, on something other than just helping you with maybe a code issue here and there. So I think that that's a very awesome side benefit. And, you know, I like the sound of my own voice. So what can I say?
Yeah, I've really enjoyed doing the podcast for the last, oh gosh, how long has it been now? 8-9 months? Wow.
Somewhere in that range, yeah.
And I think our audience isn't specifically beginners, but we have always strived, even like in our open source work, everything, we've always strived to be welcoming and inclusive for beginners. And so we try to keep this podcast not too advanced. Like,
intimidating.
Exactly. Not too intimidating. Like, advanced enough that we are interesting to a wide audience, mm-hmm. but not, yeah, like you said, not intimidating.
Yeah, and as one listener told me, Robin's smart as heck. She sure makes up for you. I appreciated that. So there's something for everybody. I appreciate the question, Buzz, and thanks for listening. And if you do have any questions and for, you know, a future fan mail segment, you can send them to @ReactNativeRDIO on Twitter. You can also find Robin_Heinz with an E, and I am on Twitter also as @JaminHolmgren. As always, thanks to our producer and editor, Todd Wirth, our transcript and release coordinator, Jed Bartoski, our social media coordinator, Missy Warren, our designer, Justin Husky. Thanks to the sponsor, Infinite Red. Check us out, infinite.red/ReactNative. Special thanks to all of you listening today. Make sure to subscribe. Send this to someone who wants to stay on top of React Native news. And we will be doing this again in about 6 weeks and try to catch up on the latest and greatest news. Reminder, we are hiring. I'm going to keep mentioning this. We are hiring. go to careers.infinite.red and we'll see you all next time.
Bye.